Good evening, church.
Good evening.
I hope you're doing well and brought your pillows to church. No, I'm just kidding. But what a blessing it is to be here tonight in the house of the Lord, Sunday night. And I'm so thankful to be able to be invited back and come and tell you what the Lord is doing in the country of Cambodia. There's a lot of folks that came up to me and spoke to me and told me we met 10 years ago. And some I remember, some I don't. I'm so sorry. But if my wife was here, she'll remember everybody. Amen. But thank you so much for believing in the Vong family. 10 years ago, we were traveling through, didn't really know what we're doing. Everything's done by faith. But God put the pieces together and connected us with all these supporting churches that allowed us to go to Cambodia in the beginning of 2015. January 7th, I remember that day we arrived in Cambodia. So in January, it'll be 9 years that we have been in Cambodia. And all in part because of folks like you believing in us and supporting us. And I want to come and say thank you on behalf of my family for loving us, for keeping in contact with us, for investing in the Cambodian people. And you'll see a lot of pictures. There's about 53 pictures. We're going to go through it, okay? We're going to go through it. But you'll see faces of people that you've had a part in reaching with the gospel. And many lives were changed because of your investment. And I want to see fruit that has abound to your account. And so if you can bear with me, it's quite a few pictures. I just wanted to go through this. So up on the screen there, you see a picture of my family. When we came, there was only eight of us. Seven. There are seven of us. And then we added three on the field. But I want to show you, go through the pictures here real quick. Next picture. This is my oldest son, Titus. He's 18 now, and he's graduated from high school and enrolled in Bible college at my home church. And you folks have been praying for him. He just had surgery on his knee to repair a torn ACL. But when they opened him up, they saw that his MCL is also missing. And so, you know, that was after the fact that they had repaired his ACL. So he's rehabbing. And by the time they find a match of the MCL from a cadaver, they're going to have to open him up and do another surgery on the same knee. So please pray for him. After the knee surgery, he's got two more surgeries on his shoulders, one in each shoulder. So when it's all said and done, he's going to be the bionic man. But pray for him. Pray for Titus. And we're going to be leaving him here in the States to go to college. And so it's going to be a little bit different when we get back because we won't have him. Pray for my wife. So Titus, please pray for him. This is Tyler. Next picture here, Tyler. He's actually going to graduate a little bit early. And in March of next year, he's coming back to the U.S. so that he can go to college as well. So we're going to have, in under 6 months, we're going to have two boys leave our family in Cambodia and live here in the U.S. and go to college here. Right now, they're all in California. You know, as Brother Donnie mentioned, it'll take a bus to transport us all, and, you know, gas is expensive. So, and also, so just myself and Thaddeus that has been traveling this leg of the journey. And we are almost done with furlough. Praise the Lord for that. So we're on our last leg of furlough, and we got three more churches to be into, to report, head back to California, rest for 2 weeks and get back to Cambodia. So you pray for us as we head back. We're excited about that. So that's Tyler. Next picture is Lydia, one of our daughters, our oldest daughter, rather. And she's been such a blessing. You know, she's considered mama number two. Amen. So very thankful for her. Next picture. This is Tad. You probably already met him. Didn't he do such a really good job passing out those bookmarks? Let's give him a hand, okay? All right, that's enough. He might get a big head and, you know, pride coming before the fall. So that's Tad there. Glad to have him with me. That's Timothy. I think when he came, he was just a little baby. If you remember him, our kids were passing out some prayer cards, their business cards. I don't know if you remember that. And some of you still have it, so thank you. But this is him now. He's a... How old is he, Tad? It changes every year, so I forget the numbers. So I think he's 10. Thank you. He's 10, okay? He's 10. Wow. Okay, next picture here. This is Lois. She was our firstborn there in Cambodia, and we added her to the team. Next picture, this is Laura. Now, Laura, she's a special needs She's our special needs daughter. She was diagnosed with Downs and Turner's. I'm not sure if you're familiar what Turner's is. Turner's is a syndrome that pretty much, you know, Downs, you have an extra chromosome. Turner's, she's missing a chromosome. And you're like, should it match out, balance out? No, it doesn't. So she, 1 out of 2 million babies are born with both syndromes at the same time. So it's rare. Now, Turner's affects her reproductive system, and usually babies with Turner syndrome are born with a lot of heart defects and lungs and organ failure. So they usually don't live past 30 years old. But when she saw a specialist, the specialist was like, yeah, she has Turner's, but I don't see anything wrong with her. So practically her heart is great, and you know, we praise the Lord for her because she has actually opened up a facet of ministry that we didn't even think that we were going to be a part of, and that is helping special needs kids be accepted. You know, it's amazing. What you believe really determines how you act. You know, as Christians, God has unconditional love towards us. We have special needs children. We love them because they're a gift from God. The Bible says every good gift comes from above. But in Cambodia, 96% of the folks there believe in Buddhism, and a part of Buddhism, you believe in reincarnation. And so because they believe that, if you have a child that is special needs, that's because you did something bad in your past life. And so they believe that you deserve that. And often the special needs children are neglected, abused, rejected. But you know what? That's a belief straight from the pits of hell. And this, she has a living soul. This is a human being. And so so because of our example, you know, by the way, she's been a gift to our family. We've never been closer. She always brings us joy. We sang a lot about joy and happiness, right? See the congregational songs here. But you know what? True joy comes from knowing Jesus. And when you know Jesus, you have a special needs daughter. Well, guess what? That's another opportunity for you to be a blessing to other people. And so she has brought another dimension to our ministry, and we've been able to help bless others and teach others through our example how to deal with special needs children. So we praise the Lord for that. Next picture, this is our latest addition. Lindsay, we call her Cece. So we got four daughters, Lydia, Lily, Lois, Lolo, Lara, Lala, Lindsay, Cece. Okay, so that's Cece right there. And so notice all the boys are T's, all the girls are L's. And if God gives us twin boys, we'll name them 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So we'll pray for that. But next picture, please. God has called us to the country of Cambodia. We've been there going on 9 years. And as I said, church family, thank you for believing and investing in us. So when we touched down to Cambodia, we touched down in the capital city of about 6 million people. God put us in the city center, very densely populated. We started a church. The church grew tremendously. We needed to find more space, but the proper, and being Cambodian, going to Cambodia, I was able to get citizenship, and so I have dual citizenship, and I was able to have the opportunity to buy land. And so we couldn't buy there because land prices in the capital city are as expensive as California. And you know how California prices are. So, and we're like, nope, we can't buy this. So there's a lake, so we cross, next picture. So we crossed the lake to the outskirts of the capital city. This got incorporated to the capital city. And back when we moved 5 years ago, it's just all rice fields. You look at the picture now. So the city center is over the horizon. So we moved across the lake to this area here, just farmland, just rice paddies. And we were second-guessing God. We were like, God, you sure you want us to move here? There's really not too many people. But look at it now. God knew what he was doing all along. And why should we doubt him, right? So God moved us here, and since we built our church building, housing developments were being built all over the place, and little did we know, the government was actually zoning our area there that we moved to become a solely residential. And we can build, because we built our church there, we've already are grandfathered in. But no factories, no big buildings can be there. And we praise the Lord for that. God brought people to where we're at. And so next picture, please. So we bought land. We were able to build our building about 3.5 years ago. And we praise the Lord for his provision. And next picture, started building our building. Our people Now, this distance, this new location, is about 50 minutes away from our old location. So 50 minutes to Cambodians, that's very far. And so we were praying, God, are you sure you want us here? Because, you know, it's going to make it difficult for our people. But, you know, God was already working. Our people were already praying and seeking advice to sell their current property so that they can move with us to be closer to the church. And as we're constructing our church building, our members were also building their homes. They moved with us. 60% of our membership moved. And so, next picture, please. So we started building. Next picture, started building. That's the building that God has given us. It accommodates about 600 to 700 Cambodians, okay? Us Americans, maybe 500. But anyway, fact of the matter is, boy, God has given us facilities to use for the purpose of preaching the gospel and discipling converts and believers, taking them to the next level. So we're very, very grateful for that. Next picture. So that's just an aerial view. Like I said, before it was just rice fields. See all those homes there? Those are our church members. So we kind of really, next picture, created a, I was going to say compound, but that's bad connotation. We created a community there in that village there. We created a community. All but one of those homes are our church members. And many that moved there that were not church members, they got saved. And now they're part of our church. So it's amazing how God works. Next picture. And so we that's the congregation on any given Sunday at that church there. And now remember, 60% moved with us. So that leaves how many? 40. Man, mathematicians here. So you got 40% stayed at our old location. So you know what we did? The Lord allowed us to plant a church there. And so now we have two churches. Next picture. So that's the Capital City Center Church there. And God has allowed us to minister to the people that could not move. But every 6 weeks, we all gather together and celebrate, because there's people that always got getting saved and baptism and stuff like that. Next picture. So when we went to Cambodia, we thought we're going to be reaching a lot of Cambodians. And that's who we're going to reach. But you know what? God had other plans. God allowed us and opened up some doors for us to reach a people group called the Cham people. Cham people are Muslims. They're predominantly Muslims. And you know how it is. To reach Muslims is very difficult. But with God, all things are possible. So God allowed us to build some connection, build some relationships, have some connections with village chief sons and stuff like that. And so we were able to plant a church in a Muslim village. And then what happened was that the village chief got in trouble by Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has been funneling money to the Cambodian Cham villages. And so they're like, what is a Christian church doing in a Muslim village? And so it's as if the village chief got demon possessed. He turned on us. But it was too late. All of his sons are saved. His daughters are saved. His wife got saved. His mom got saved. And, you know, he turned on us. He divorced his wife, kicked us out of the village. His kids lost their inheritance. But what's amazing about this story is this. God used the testimony of the Cham believers to make a huge impact. So there was like a sifting process, a filtering process, if you would. We had a lot of numbers, but you know what? When that happened, you know, persecution always brings the best out of us, right? And so these folks stuck with the stuff. They lived out their faith. This happened 8 years ago. You know what? Now, next picture. They've grown tremendously. They've met everywhere, under chicken coops, under mango trees. And next picture, we were able to build a building for them. So 80% of that congregation there are Muslims. Are Christians. They were former Muslims. They're no longer Muslims. But you know what? The 11, 12, 15 people that stuck with the stuff, they lived out their faith in such a way that their persecutors have now gotten saved. And that's how our church grew there. So that's our third church plant. Next picture. And they're outgrowing their facility, so we're building a building for them. I'll tell you real quick about this. A miracle story. My lack of faith. And so this is a building close to the Muslim village. So We want our people to have some skin in the game. We can't just be building buildings for them. They need to be a part of it. And so we challenged them, look, materials. We need to get materials. And we divided the walls into sections. And each section probably cost $400. Now, mind you, let me put some things into perspective. A normal household will make $400 a month. So that's a steep sacrifice for a lot of families. So I encouraged them, hey, why don't you team up with a couple of families and let's pay for each section of the wall. There's about 20 of them. And we're expecting it costs $8,000 to do all that, to get the materials and everything. We're expecting $5,000 is going to come in, my lack of faith. And so $3,000, we can cover that. We challenged our people. Offering day came. We didn't get $5,000. We didn't get $8,000. We got $7,651. And I looked at that, I was like, are you sure the decimal's at the right spot? Are you sure? Praise God. My lack of faith, the people came through, so we have all the material, and so now we're just praying for the roof. We're trying to get that squared away. But these are the John people loving their own people so that they can reach more people there around that village. Next picture, please. Thank you so much. So here's one of the former persecutors of our people. He sells chicken in the village, in the market there. When our people would go buy chicken, he wouldn't sell that for them. He would spit at them, curse at them. But now he's helping build the building because he's now a Christian. Next picture, here's another man. He used to be the maniac of Gadara in that village. Everybody feared him. They still fear him now, even after he'd become a Christian. But, you know, when he passed out those offensive tracts, they take it because they're still scared of him. Next picture, here's some more folks that were saved from Islam. Now they're Christians. The lady in the hat right there tying some rebar in the red hat, she got kicked out of her own house and her own property because she got saved. Her husband just kicked her out. And the villagers sided with him. This is her property. And so she's been without, she can't go back to her village, and she's been homeless for 2 years. Not homeless. We found a place for her. But you know what she said? She said, Pastor, I cling on to hope that my husband's going to get saved one of these days. And so praise the Lord for her testimony. Next picture, please. So God allowed us to work with John people, which are predominantly Muslim, but he's also allowed us to work with a small animist hill tribe called the Kui people. How many of you have ever heard of joshuaproject.com? You heard that website? So joshuaproject.com, they list a bunch of unreached people groups that have never been engaged with the gospel. Well, the Kui people, they're one of those groups. And as far as we know, they've never been engaged with the gospel, according to Joshua Project. Well, if anybody have contact with Joshua Project, let them know. We got them. We were able to reach them. And so through relationships, through different connections that God has opened up, we were able to meet this family and led the family to the Lord. 2 years ago, I found out that just at the time that we met them, they were actually on their way. This picture here, I mean, they were actually on their way to sell their kids to become slaves, and then as they mature, their organs will be harvested. But they met Jesus, amen? Jesus changed their lives, changed their entire destiny. Like I said, I only found this out 2 years ago. Imagine what the children will feel if they know. They don't know about it, and my son, don't say anything, okay? And so, you know what? Jesus made a difference in their life. Next picture. They got saved, got baptized. Next picture. This is when I first met him. He was actually a mining for gold for a Chinese company. Next picture. Wife got baptized as well. Next picture, please. And so now the children are growing up. They're in a Christian home, Christian environment, and their lives are changed forever. Lakes Pond Baptist Church, you had a part in that. These are real people, real pictures that were touched because of your faithfulness. Thank you for investing. Next picture. Because of that, we were able to plant a church in their village as well. So this is church number 4. Sorry, my fingers got cramped, okay? That's church number 4, okay? You had a part in that. Amen. You had a part in that. Next picture. So, of course, fellowship, relationship building, and obviously a lot of discipleship happens over food, right? Over a meal. Many questions are answered. But you know, culture-wise, you just gotta mingle with the people in order for them to listen. And so for the sake of the gospel, I've eaten a lot of things. Things that used to bark, things that used to crawl. Next picture. I've even had this, okay? So next picture. Okay, we won't gross you out too bad. For the sake of the gospel, amen. So, but you know, God gives us grace, doesn't he? We just pray really hard before we eat it. So what happens is this. You know, the culture is this. When you go visit somebody, they'll always be as hospitable as they can be with whatever they have. They'll bring out that meal that they saved for the next day's meal or the night's meal, and they'll give it to you. Now, if you don't have a good excuse, they're going to get offended. And so that's why whenever I go out visiting or visiting new people, I'm not even a breakfast person. I'll eat breakfast. Why? Because I don't want to lie. Oh, I'm full. And I'm not, right? So I'll eat a breakfast or I'll bring something with me. And hey, let's eat this together. And I know where it came from. Amen. And I know what it is. But when they throw a wrench at your plan and say, you know, Pastor, I have a friend. Can we go visit them and share the gospel with them? What am I going to say? No? Yeah, let's go. And we'll go. And then, you know what? They pull some odd foods out. Amen. And then we're just stuck with it. And so praise God for prayer. So, you know, God has allowed us to reach a lot of people. You see all these faces. You had a part in it, church family. And this young man, I've discipled and been investing in him. The young lady actually grew up in our children's ministry, and now they're married. They have a son named Daniel. And because of his faithfulness and his seriousness for the Lord, he's a businessman. He only works three days out of the week. The other 2 days, next picture, he helped us plant our fifth church. So 13 weeks ago, we were able to plant another church in his village. You know, we always start with a children's ministry. Then adults get saved. Then there's a need for meetings on Sundays. And so after our main service, we drive 2 hours away to meet with them. This thing works. Church family, it works. Missions work. You know, why do we need missions? Because proper worship doesn't exist. We get to be here. We know the true God. We can worship him because we know him. You know, there's a lot of people that don't know him. They don't know him. Next picture, please. Some members of our church that we've invested in, now they run our children's ministry. Next picture. This family here, very affluent. The husband and wife they had bodyguards with them at all times. I mean, they were loaded. They were rich. But the lady she was demon-possessed. She was constantly oppressed. And so the husband squandered pretty much his wealth to try to get her healed. He'll listen to the monks. Okay, the monks will say, okay, go build this wall here for the temple. He would do that. Go to this mountain and build a staircase so the monks can go up there to worship. He did that. To no avail, the lady never got healed, obviously, right? The devil always demands, doesn't he? He always demands. And so he doesn't give anything in return. But you know what? He just got fed up with all that. He pretty much became agnostic. And so his daughter attended our children's ministry, and she got saved. And God made a difference in the daughter's life, and the wife, the mom, in her right mind, she'll be in her right mind, right frame of mind, and then she followed her daughter to church. It's like, something's wrong with my daughter. She's not rebellious like she used to be. She came to church, heard the gospel, wanted to hear more, came back again, she got saved. So all those years of being demonically possessed and oppressed all went away. And then in a month and a half, the father's like, something's wrong with my wife. She's not the same old mom. That's her name, mom. She's not the same woman. Who is this girl? And then he followed her to church. He heard the gospel, asked us to come back. We witnessed him. He's saved now. And so he's been growing, and they've been growing in their faith, and a lot of folks have been saved because of their testimony. And you had a part in that, church family. Thank you. Next picture. This is our bus ministry, children's ministry pickup. It's a tuk-tuk. Apparently, it's not a bus, but It's a tuk-tuk, a wagon being pulled by a moped. And there's probably, we can fit 20 to 25 on a good day. Next picture. As I built the building, God allowed us to make connections and contact with the contractors. I've led several to the Lord. Here's one of them. He's our electrician. So when we find out some wires are not attached right, we really can't get too mad at him because he's not going to church, right? So next picture. This is another contractor that I led to the Lord. Again, the testimony of our people. He was so amazed at how kind and generous our people were, helping, offering help, assisting him, that he was just overwhelmed. And he's like, "Teacher, what's wrong with your people? Well, how come they're treating me so nice?" Because he specializes in solar panels. And we had to put solar up because of we're out in the outskirts. It was difficult to get consistent electricity. And so he would always do a lot of work for rich people. And they would literally treat him like trash. Cuss at him, stuff like that. And when he went to do the job on our church, he was expecting the same thing. But you know what? There's a difference. That's the world. We're Christians. And so he was just overwhelmed by our folks' kindness and helping him carry solar panels up to the roof and stuff. And he was like, "What's wrong with you guys?" Well, let me tell you what's right with us, Jesus Christ. And so I shared the gospel with him. He didn't get saved right away, but 2 months later, he got so convicted that he loved our people so much, he actually bought land next to our church so that he can build a house. And so we're on his property. He didn't have a house yet, just a tarp. And I led him to the Lord right there. And you had a part in that because you sent the Vong family there. Next picture, please. Here's every 6 weeks, all five of our churches assemble together for baptisms and celebration and stuff like that. And so that's the lower floor of our auditorium. We underdid it because we should have built it bigger. Next picture. That's our balcony there. It's already full. So those are lives that were changed. And a difference was made in their lives because of your giving. Lakes Ponds Baptist Church, you had a part in that. You invested in that. And thank you so much for that. Next picture. The next project that we have coming up, just want to bring you up to speed. We're building, we have an academy, but we're building an educational wing to the side of our church. Why? Because we believe that the next generation is hope for Cambodia. And we firmly believe in that. I got saved because of the Christian school. As a matter of fact, when I went to Cambodia, I was like, I'm never going to start a Christian school. not because I was an administrator for a couple years and I was just burnt out. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. You know, somebody said, "You want to ruin a church? Tell them to start a Christian school." But you know what? There's fruit that remains because of Christian education. And you know, I believe in that. And God did a number in me, and I submitted, okay? So we're going to start up an international private school that's going to be used to reach the next generation. Here's one of our national leaders, and look at his son. His son's name is David, just admiring his dad. And you know what David said to me before I left Cambodia to come on furlough? He said, "Pastor, I want to be just like my dad. I want to be a preacher." And what better way to train the next generation than to have a school? So next picture, we're starting to build our school here. That's our academy. Just a bunch of young people. We don't want the buck to stop with us. We want it to continue, amen? And Lakes Ponds, I'm very pleased to see quite a few young people here. I've been to a lot of churches. All I see is a flood of gray hairs. But you know what? You have a good variety here, and there's a reason for that. You have a great pastor, and his son's doing a wonderful job. And you know what? Let me tell you something. Keep reaching the next generation. Keep investing in the next generation. So that's what we're going to do and striving to do there. We're building our building. Next picture. Someone gave us $25,000 to start the project. And we're just going to keep building until we run out of funds. This is going to take about $50,000 total to finish that. We already have half of it. Next picture. We started drilling. We started put piling in. Next picture. And by the way, the people that are building this building are church members. There's five of them, five guys that's putting all this together. They're doing 99% of the work. Next picture. And they're doing it with joy. Why? Of course, there's joy in serving Jesus. But number two, their children are going to get to go to that school. Next picture. This is five guys, folks, that's doing all this. Next picture. That's what it's at right now. We've run out of, we have about $3,000 left. That's enough to buy all the bricks to fill that up. But again, when we started to build our church building, all I had money was to buy the land and to do the foundation. That building cost us $200,000, and I didn't have $200,000, but the building's built. Why? Because God provided the funds. And we did that. We stepped out by faith to build the church building, and we're stepping out by faith to do this bad boy here too. And it's almost done. So we got half more way to go, but we believe that God's going to bring the funds in. Next picture. So that's a view of what is going up. It's pretty much a multi-purpose building. On the weekends, we're going to use it for Sunday school classes, children's classes and such. And so we're so grateful for the facilities that the Lord gave us. Next picture. So church family, thank you for supporting us and for praying for us these past going on 9 years. We couldn't have done it without you. And I get the privilege to come back. My wife says hello, and I get to come back and tell you all the good things that the Lord has done because of your investment. And I just want to encourage you real quick. If you have your Bibles, it'll be real quick. Don't worry. I think Pastor said 9 o'clock we'll be done. But we're up, you know, we'll make it happen. 8:59, okay, Pastor? Okay, got it. So just want to, I know we're going to close shop at 7. So Psalm 107, please. Psalm 107, we're going to look at just a couple passages of Scripture here. It's been said that repetition is the key to... Okay, let me say it. Repetition is the key to learning. Repetition is the key to
learning.
Thank you, class. So, you know, I find myself repeating instructions often to my children. For crying out loud, I have 8 of them, okay? And sometimes they're like, who, me? Yeah, you. I'm talking to you. I'm looking at you. What, am I cross-eyed or what? And sometimes we find ourselves repeating things because they don't get the point, right? So it's funny. I find it comical. Sometimes, you know, of course, God knows us, and he knows how we are and who we are, and he'll repeat certain verses throughout the Bible a couple times, a few times, and sometimes several times, okay? And in Psalm 107, verse number 8, we see here a verse that is repeated 4 times in the same chapter. The Bible says in Psalm 107, verse number 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Ladies, you're part of that as well, okay? Not just the man, okay? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That same exact verse is also found in verse number 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. May I say something? God is good. He is good all the time. All the time, he's good. And he's done a wonderful work to and for us, hasn't he? We're alive. We're saved by the grace of God. We have everything we need. We get to live in the United States of America. Let me tell you something. There's a majority of the world's population that does not live in America. Okay, this is not the world. The real world is out there. This bubble that we live in is really fantasy land for a lot of people. And God has blessed America so that we can help bless others, other nations. And so God has done a wonderful work in our lives. We see also in verse 21, the same exact verse, verbatim. Verse 31 repeats that same verse again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I think God is serious about men and ladies praising him. It's an act of worship. By the way, he deserves all the praise. He deserves all the honor. He deserves all the glory. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Folks, we can come to the conclusion that we are created for his pleasure and for him alone. God is a jealous God. He deserves our honor. He deserves our praise. That's why we see 4 times in Scripture in the same chapter that God wants men to praise him for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Key takeaways from this passage: God desires for men to praise him for his goodness, rightfully so. Another takeaway is God has done wonderful works to and for us. We know that. You know, I think of the song, there's the wonder of sunset at evening. It's beautiful. Cambodia, when we go out to see the sunset, it's just phenomenal to see the glory of God and his goodness. There's the wonder of sunset at evening. The wonder of sunrise I see. But you know what the wonder of wonder is? It's that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. Just to think that God loves me. Oh, I just cracked. Okay, we'll stop right there. Check the windows. Make sure there's no cracks. Okay, but I'll tell you what. God is wonderful. And he's done a wonderful work. And the wonder of it all is that he loves me. He loves you. He loves the whole world. Amen? And so here's the problem, though. They can't praise him if they don't know him. How can they praise a God who they don't know? Let's turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 96. Psalm 96. Let's look at verse number 3. And again, I'm not an English major, but as I read verse number 3, the Bible says, declare his glory among the heathen. I see a subject in there that is understood. And that subject is, you declare his glory among the heathen. So God wants us to have a part in helping people get to know him so that they can praise him. Declare his glory among the heathens. His wonders among all people, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. That right there, my friend, is the Great Commission. Go ye therefore. Tell, teach, baptize, teach. That's the commandment, the last commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave to us, and we're obligated to follow through. Why? Because, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. But if they can't praise him if they don't know him. Part of the Great Commission is to declare God's glory among the heathens. You know, we can respond to the Great Commission in three ways. We can go. We can. Sometimes, some of us, we just need to submit to that fact. Just go. Our responsibility is not to save people. Our responsibility is to tell people. Amen. It's to go. And God uses our obedience for his glory. He's the one doing the saving. We just go. We can go, number one. We can, number two, sow. We can plant those seeds. We can pray for missionaries. We can give so that missionaries can go. We can go. We can sow. But God forbid, number three, don't say no. Don't say no. Look, God left us here for a purpose. We have a huge job to do for him, for his honor and for his glory. You know what's better? Look, I stated a moment ago, what we believe determines how we act. And if we really believe that there's a real heaven and a real hell, we'll do something about it. We will do something about it. We can't go, we'll sow. But we won't say no. Aren't you thankful that someone told you about the Lord Jesus Christ? We owe God a big deal, don't we? You know what? Let's be obedient. Amen? Let's be obedient. Let's get out of our comfort zone and ask God, Lord, what will you have me to do? Not thy will, but thine. Not my will, but thine. Thank you. You know, the happiness, we sing happiness, we say happiness, but what we're looking for is true joy. And true joy comes from serving Jesus. True joy comes from submitting to the will of the Savior. And church family, I am having the time of my life in Cambodia. And I can't wait to get back. We're so excited. We just bought our tickets last week. And man, we're fired up. We can't wait to get back and hit the ground running. And church family, we all have a job to do. We can go. We can sow, but don't say no. The abundant life comes from obedience. And God knows what he's doing. He left us here for a reason, because it's better to be in heaven than to be here. So let's put some things into perspective. Do we really believe what we say we believe? If so, let's act on it. Amen? Let's stop talking and let's act upon it. There's a lot of talking. There's a lot of talking. But you know what? We can talk all we want, but as we're talking, there's a bunch of people dying and going to hell. So let's do something about it. And church family, I want to tell you, you've done something about it. The pictures you see there were not Googled pictures. They were personal pictures. And all those faces that you saw were impacted with the gospel by God's grace because of your giving and your sacrifice and your prayers. So church family, I just want to encourage you this morning. Thank you for having a part in worldwide evangelism and specifically in the country of Cambodia. And on behalf of the Cambodian people, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. I just want to say, I don't know what the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart at. You know, you know what God wants you to do. But I pray that the simple message here of understanding that God desires all men to praise him, but they can't praise him if they don't know him. So let's do our part. You declare his glory among the heathen. And let's obey the Great Commission. Let's have a part in reaching souls for Christ in Jerusalem, here where we're at, Judea, Samaria, and also the uttermost parts of the earth, places that we can't go. And I don't know what the Lord's talking to you about, but I'm going to go ahead and turn this invitation over to Brother Donnie, and you can close it as you see fit.